Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody's got the fever. This is something we all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago.
Good evening and welcome to Lenny Godfrey Straight No Chaser. We will have a great time tonight. I am predicting it because I know who the guest is, and she is so fierce. I tell you, I cannot wait to introduce her. But first, the first thing that I want to do is to give you a little housekeeping. You are on blocktalkradio.com/ S is in Sam, F is in Fred, T is in Tom, H is in Harry, and the number 2. You need to know that information if you want to look up any episodes that have been included in the archives in the last year or so. We're almost up to 50 episodes, and we're just having a great time. Also, I want to give you this number and the indication of how you call in if you have any questions for myself or the guest tonight. You dial 516-453-6063, and then you press the number 1. That way, I'll have an indication that you have a question. Now, tonight's going to be a little quicker than normal. We're going to do a little abbreviation because my guest is such in demand that she has to go out and she has an obligation at studio. So we have to make sure that we get her in our studio, get her talking to and get her to where she has to go on time. I am so delighted to talk about this woman that I have known now for decades. And that's dating both of us, and so I'm not saying any more about years anymore. What I want to do is tell you that I do believe, I don't think she regards herself as such, but I do believe that she is theater royalty. She is descended from people who made their living in live performance in New York City. She was born in New York City, but she didn't stay there that long. She is where she is now, which is in California. And she has had a fabulous career in theater, television, film, commercials. You've seen her in her own television series, Falcon Crest. You've seen her on Criminal Minds. You've seen her on Grey's Anatomy. She's done TV commercials and since I think she was about 3, probably, years old. She and I met while she was being brilliant in a play in Los Angeles. And I loved working with her, and it is my pleasure to welcome, I think, one of the brightest performers that we have in our business, and she will tell you what she's morphing into, author, writer, performer, actress, Miss, my friend, Miss Jamie Rose. Hello, Jamie.
Oh, hi, my beloved Lenny. Wow. I just want you to keep talking, and I want to hear all of Fever, that music you were playing. Oh, my God. You give me the fever, and all of us.
Oh, well, you know, it's so wonderful to hear your voice, and so wonderful that we connected after a while. You know, what happens in our business, and I say this on air so people know, you make really great friendships, really great relationships, and then the business takes you away, and you get focused on what you're doing at the moment, and before you know it, years go by, and you haven't heard from the person that you really care about. So we have reconnected even more before this. I know my Christmas cards to your parents used to. I bet you they said that girl she sends a card every year. I think it's every year since I've left Los Angeles. I've sent your family a Christmas card.
Yep, because and you are an incredibly courteous and loving person. And
Don't say it. Thank you very much. But that's okay. I'll send you a check later on.
I'll send you a card finally.
Yeah, exactly. But But, you know, I don't think you know how much I admire all the things that you've accomplished and where you are in life now, how much I really enjoyed the relationship with your family, how much I admired your father, Stuart Rose, who was a Broadway performer, and your mother, as I started, you know, I didn't know she was a Rockette. I'm sick of this thing.
Well, she actually always has to say Radio City Music Hall Rockette, because apparently that's the upper level of Rockette.
Yes, it is. There's a touring group and everything else. So she was the Radio City Music Hall Rockette. Now, getting into their business, is that when your father was working on Broadway and your mother was a Radio City Music Rockette, is that when they met, you think? Is that how they met?
No, I'll tell you. This is, and I'll say this. So this theater royalty thing, which is kind of a beautiful thing, because they're not famous, but they are examples of the best of the theater tradition in terms of the work ethic, the working hard, the working as hard, whether you're paid $100 or $10,000. And that was what I was raised with. And these are the kind of habits that, that all of us need in our lives, that degree of discipline. And I've learned this more and more as I get older and how important it is. And so my parents actually did meet in a show, but predated all that. My dad in the 50s, I guess, was on like Arthur Godfrey's radio show. And he was in the army in the Korean War. And he like won the Cowan Scout show. And he was a bit of a thing, like Hedda Hopper mentioned him as someone to watch, and he was on a up-and-coming list along with Sammy Davis Jr. So he was kind of poised for a certain kind of stardom and was doing a summer stock, and my mom was a dancer in the show, and he followed – this is the story. Slightly off color maybe as it is, he said he followed her up a flight of stairs. I want to see this backside again. And so he found out that she was going to be doing chorus and, I don't know, Guys and Dolls, something. And he arranged to be the leading man and start dating her. And the rest is my history. So they had met. And so my mother, I'm the reason my mom actually stopped being a Rockette. She gave that up when she was, I think, 3 or 4 months pregnant with me. Before that, she'd been a dancer at the Latin Quarter. And her first job, when she was 17, she lied about her age because Donald O'Connor wanted two girls in his act. One was the one who became his wife, and one was my mom. And so she was like a month away from being 18, said she was 18, and she was in her first job was one of two dancers in Donald O'Connor's Las Vegas act. So they have a great, you know, that's my lineage. And so I went on by age six. I was doing commercials and things. My first commercial was as a dancer. My mom then had a dance school, and I could go-go dance, and they were looking for girls go-go dancers. In fact, on YouTube, if you go to Kool-Aid a go-go, you can see my first gig. A very nice close-up at the end of me doing the jerk. And I did it because, you know, if my parents had sold shoes, I would have been selling shoes. You know, it wasn't like, oh, I can't wait to be an actor. It was just kind of the family business.
Right, right. But see, and therein lies my question. What do you think your life would have been like had they not been in business? I mean, you know, since you went along with the family business, look where you are, and we'll talk about what you're doing now. But can you just kind of, those kind of things with it, it's a wonderful life. Imagine if they had gone in another direction. What do you think your life would be like without the arts, without them being the singers and dancers and performers that they were?
Well, I mean, first of all, I would have been bored because they wouldn't have met. That was part of that. But, you know, I would have come back, I don't know, reincarnated as a tree or a cat or something, if I was lucky. I would be incarnated as my own cat, if I was really lucky, because he lives in Varley over here. He's napping in my bed as we speak. Anyway, but, you know, it's such an interesting, you know, I feel like now, I'm 62 now. I'm not afraid to say my age. I'm like, I did an episode of Green Acres. How old? How young could I be? I mean, you can look me up on IMDb. My age is public knowledge.
I hear you.
But,
I feel like,
oh, we're going to lie about my age. What am I going to? I mean, I was on Green Acres. Okay,
no,
let's face it. I mean, I was working in the 60s. So, I couldn't even if I tried pretend I was that young. I mean, yeah, now. So anyway, you know, I feel like right now I'm kind of who I would have been because I was actually a very bookish kid. I always had my nose in a book and I had talent and I could perform. I think I had natural talent and also I helped my dad with lines. I was backstage, I was born backstage basically. And I could just do it. You know, I just could do it well. And I had a career that kind of, it just kind of happened. And in the last probably 20 years, I feel like I'm now really being who I would have been. But there's no way I could do what I've been doing the last 20 years without the arts. And this is why this is especially important to me. I mean, this is stuff that you don't know so much know about me. But when I was in my late 30s or so, work slowed down. And I was still working, but it wasn't at the level I was used to. And I had dropped out of college. I had no skills other than acting. I'd always been an actor. I had the only day jobs I ever had was when I was like 16 years old when I was in high school. But it caused me to have to really start pushing out from what I thought I was, which I thought I was an actor on series. That was clearly what I was.
Exactly.
Other plans as I was turning 40. I know it's the only actress that's ever happened to. But what happened was I started going toward teaching, and I never really wanted to do teaching because at that time I thought acting was I'd done theater, of course. I'd worked with you, which is like one of the highlights of my life, and I really mean that because you really said you were so wise. You helped me so much on that, just in terms of my own growth as a woman, as an artist, and really having confidence in myself. I remember one day you said, "Honey, I'm gonna have to give you diva lessons," because I was like, I'm really not good enough. If there's a problem,
yes, and you would just,
me, and you're
just
like, okay, put a zip on it. And,
magnificent. You were really fabulous. You were really fabulous.
But I do know, and I hope this isn't too off color, it was so funny. Bill Duke directed it, and this is how I think it maybe was a little miscast because I was playing a prostitute. And he said to the cast in front of me and a couple other actresses who were playing these prostitutes, he said, "I want you to know what it's like to be a hoe." And I said, "What's a hoe?" I didn't know. I was like, "What? You mean?"
Oh,
so
I missed that.
So that, I mean, I was maybe a little naive. I don't know. So that was, maybe I was magnificent. Maybe I'm a little bit cast. I'm not sure. I'm glad I met you. I maybe needed to be a little roughed up, you know?
let's just say.
Yeah, so, I mean, they might have had a point thinking I was miscast. I'm just saying. So, but anyway, okay. So, hello. All right, so I started going toward teaching, which I never had been interested in because, honestly, I had judgment about it. I believed all that stuff about those who can't do teach and all that ugly stuff they said about teachers.
But I started
going toward it, and the first thing I did, I thought, I need to have something else in my life that gives me meaning, which, of course, you're a great example of. You're doing, like, everything. You're acting, singing, working with acknowledged playwrights. You're just like all over that and have been. But I thought, okay, so I got a friend of mine who also had been actually almost her name, but like a movie star, and she was having the same kind of experience. And she started working at a friend of hers had begun a cancer wellness center, and she just started helping out and being a program director. And I said about that I was thinking of interested in teaching acting. And she said, "Do you want to teach an acting class for our clients?" And it was a free gig. And I had decided I was going to say yes. And I said yes. And it ended up being the most magical experience to teach these people going through chemo who were not actors, but just the joy, the pleasure of acting. And got to do theater games. And then I went, oh, my God, this is like a beautiful thing. And I love teaching. And then I thought, well, I'd love to teach at university, but of course that will never happen because I never finished my BA. Well, long story short, there was this kind of iconoclastic apartment chair who knew me from Falconcrest and invited me to come teach. Within a year and a half, I was an adjunct professor creating online classes because we were just beginning their computer program, online classes in dramatic literature and introduction to theater for non-theater majors. So I was teaching young people who maybe the first, and this is in the Valley in LA, and there's a lot of very large Hispanic population, and often and a lot of these kids were the first person in the family to go to college, and I was teaching Shakespeare to them, saying, you know, have you ever heard Every Dog Has Its Day? This is from Hamlet, and this is why you should know about this play, because it's going to enhance your experience of life. And so all this, so back to my parents and my experience, all that wonderful Chekhov reading I had done, Shakespeare training, all of that was made me a wonderful teacher for kids who weren't necessarily interested in dramatic literature or theater, because I was teaching from passion and not from the standpoint of an academic.
But you did study in London. You did.
I did. I studied Shakespeare, yeah. So, but all of that helped me become a really good teacher. I loved it. You know, I loved learning about Shakespeare. And I'd never, you know, I dropped out of college to do Falconcrest, so I got to kind of get this classical education that I hadn't had. I did it on my own. But I found out that I started teaching and realized I love igniting it in other people at this age now more than myself, honestly. I mean, I love the arts and all that, but you probably don't know this. I kind of officially retired as an actress a couple of years ago. I just, because I've moved into, I had a book published called Shut Up and Dance that was published by Penguin in 2011. Again, I found that I one of my students at the university taught tango, was a tango teacher, and he said, will you trade me private acting lessons for tango lessons? And I said, sure. And I started dancing the tango, became obsessed, went to all these festivals all over the country, out of the country. But I got this book idea and sold a book. And again, if I hadn't been a reader, if I hadn't taken all these writing classes, I wouldn't have been able to write a book. And anyway, then I ended up teaching acting privately at my own studio. And I always was very influenced by a psychiatrist I'd worked with in my late 20s. He ended up writing a best-selling self-help book called The Tools. I had always used his work in teaching my actors how to audition, because I was very fascinated in not just the craft, but how do you, assuming you know the craft, how do you deliver a performance when you're terrified? That was really interesting to me. How that kind of mental discipline, how do you do that? And it's always saying, you know, the person doing the dive at the Olympics, we know they've done that dive hundreds, if not thousands of times, but can they do it at the Olympics with all the eyes of the world watching? That's a mental discipline, right? You know, or if you're on stage and your partner forgets their lines, it's like, okay, here we go, you know?
Right.
So now I'm coaching, I now coach using this Phil's work and my own experience, of course. I call it a life coach. I hate that name because it's made fun of so much. But I find that, like, people who aren't artists have these same kind of issues about knowing, like, are afraid to talk to their boss or they're afraid to make a presentation, or they're afraid to maybe go audition for a play when they're a lawyer and always wanted to do that. So the answer, again, long to that question is, I see how everything in my life has brought me to where I am now. So, what different life would I want?
Well, you know, it's one of the things that this particular program is about is to really explain to people how important the arts are in our lives, whether they are participants as artists, as performing artists, or not. How, when you described it so beautifully, how the arts can really contribute to your life, and why we should be beholden to it and not forget it every time there's, you know, there's an economic deficit and that the arts get thrown out of the program.
I know.
So
I know.
Explained is exactly what I wanted to know, is in that how it influenced you so much you can't even imagine your life without it, whether you went into it as or ultimately as you morphed into all the things. Now, I want to slowly say a couple of things, because, you know, you talk like 60 miles an hour, and I want my audience to know certain things. I want you to know that the book that you wrote, you know how you are. I have to slow you down. The book she wrote is called Shut Up and Dance, The Joy of Letting Go of the Lead, On the Dance Floor and Off. Isn't it something like that?
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yes. Yes, perfect. That's it.
Where is that book available? Where is that book available? Because it's
Amazon. It was published by a major publisher, so you can get it on Amazon. But you know, any of your local bookstores could probably order it. But Amazon is probably the best place. I would ask that you not buy it like from a bargain place because you know I'm not getting royalties on it, but it's good for the publisher that they actually get paid the value of the book. So you know.
The reason why I also want to talk about that is because how similar we are, because my book, which is Lenny Godfrey, Lessons Learned While Seeking the Spotlight, it's the same kind of book. And those of us who are in the business and what we do is we share, you know, you share your lessons that you've learned so that people can learn it. And you don't do it. I mean, I've got to speak for me. I would love my book to be in every bookstore everywhere and on every you know shelf everywhere, but it really is to pass along to the young people in our lives some of the people that I might miss if they don't listen to the radio show, if they don't listen, look at a TV show, if they don't see a movie. If I've missed you, that's the lesson, and that's what your book does. You know, that's what your book is doing. You know, it's filling that gap, the people that we can't get to personally. Now, you didn't think about teaching, but, you know, I always wanted to be a teacher. It's just that I got all caught up in being an actor, which is why directing is so wonderful for me now, as well as leadership in such groups. Now, but I am going to go back because I want everyone to understand the journey that you have. I want to slow you down, and we don't have a whole lot of time to slow you down because, you know, this is one of our abbreviated ones. But, okay. So here's the journey. Your parents met, you got born. They were in New York. They came to Los Angeles. You started working as an actor. Then, and I'm building an arc now. So, and stop me when I'm wrong or if you want to interject. So you have a thriving career. And then, of course, as we all do, there's a little pause in it. Tell people what you are doing now and how that pause got you to where you are now.
Well, you know, if that pause didn't happen, and part of that pause involved making a lot less money than I was used to, something that people listening may religious. I'm an open book, okay? There's no mystique here, you know. I continue to spend – I've been – and this many people should know, too. I've been sober for – almost 40 years. So it wasn't, you know, I wasn't spending my money on drugs when I was in a series, but I did buy a lot. I always say I invested in shoulder pads. I bought a lot of clothes, a lot of power suits. And,
I know. You are a clothes horse, and I'm a clothes horse, but I know you're a clothes horse.
You had restraint. You had restraint. I was just, I shopped till I dropped, and then when the income slowed, I continued to shop till I dropped, which is not a very good combination. So what happened to me was I had to figure out a different way to make some money. And that's what really spurred me on to do the teaching thing. And at that time, I thought my life was ending. I thought, oh, my God, you know, I'm an actor. I'm not working enough. And, oh, my God. Well, now I look at that time, which was, boy, you know, 25, 30 years ago, is when my life began. Because really, the things that mean the most to me, I mean, it was fantastic being on those series. It was fantastic being on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. It was fantastic doing movies in all those countries. It was fantastic doing theater. But equally fantastic is what's gone on since I thought my life was over, in a way.
Yeah,
you know, my
like
career was over.
It's like a rebirth.
And now I'm like, oh, my God, that bookish girl who always, my mom had a dance studio, and I would take the classes, but in between I'd have my nose in a book, you know, and I get to, now that girl gets to be here. And one more thing about the kids and the important thing though is so I'm coach, I'm jamierosecoaching.com is my website. And so I coach, I will, one of my things I also love to do is help writers read their work aloud. So that's another
Special
thing.
You know, that's a passion.
I love that. Very, you know, just generally helping people to feel comfortable performing, or if there are like a big shot lawyer or something, really giving most everybody is some kind of an artist, and even if it's in business, it's creative. So it is that creative spirit. But I was going to say about the kids, though. I work with I've been volunteering. It's almost a year now teaching. I think of teaching. It's hanging out with these at a homeless shelter that provides interim housing for families. And I go and hang out with the kids for an hour every 2 weeks at theater games. They don't know there's theater
wonderful.
Games, but I teach them theater games. So I'm like yesterday going. This 9-year-old says, "Well, I ride a skateboard." I said, "Well, let's see it." She said, "Well, I don't have a skateboard." And so I picked up an imaginary a skateboard and handed it to her. And I said, "Let's see it." She goes, "What?" And then I showed her how I can ride a horse without a horse. And then she was skating around. And I said, "Do a trick." She said, "I don't know any tricks." I said, "Here's me jumping my horse." And so I'm introducing them into the world of imagination and fun and play and making sounds and listening and the mirror exercise and again and also you know the fun of reading that have reading with them and having them do a voice for the different characters in a book and it, you know just it's just so enriching and it's so important for the kids it's just
it
all
is.
The arts
it
you,
is
you know
so
you're
wonderful.
So multifaceted
but
music. Music,
yes.
Reading,
oh, yes. It's
movement.
Totally invaluable to them.
Oh.
But
and
Jamie,
to
what
everyone,
you have to know.
Adults too, yeah.
Yes, but what you have to know with children is that they will never, ever forget the contribution that you get. I get children that I would do a workshop in back when we were working, you know, together long years ago.
Yeah.
And then people, they've grown up and they'll see me someplace or see me in a concert and come up and say, I want to thank you for the workshop that you did, blah, 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 blah. And
yeah.
You think you do a workshop and you remember it, but you don't remember it. The impression and how important it is to these young people to pass on the arts is absolutely, it's just a gift.
I
you
know.
Pass it forward. And it's such a God-given gift. It's passion is God-given. You know, people can't,
absolutely.
You can't create it. It really is in your spirit. And it's just one of those things where it's absolutely the most, you know, wonderful gift that you have and that you can give to somebody else. Now, you know,
yeah.
I'm going to say this because, you know, in my audience, we've got some callers. We only have a few minutes left. If anybody has a question, please press one now because we're going to be gone in about the next 2 to 3 minutes because Jamie and I have to do a video version of what this is. And we want to get that all in so that she can go on and into her commitment. So I just want to make sure if you have any questions that you want to, my friend, I believe, want to ask this theater royalty and a salute to her parents so much. Let's make sure that we do it within the next 2 or 3 minutes because we're going to end this and then we're going to go on and do the video. It goes really fast, even a normal hour. I mean, what you're going to have to do is that you have to promise to come back and do another part of this so you can finish all the conversations that we haven't had thus far because we have so much to talk about, Jamie, and we won't be able to touch over it right tonight, but you got to come back. How about that?
I would love to. Of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. You know, so I just want, you know, with that, with the last thing that I want to ask before we end this, and we're coming up close on the end, is where do you want to go from here? How does the art fit in your life from here?
You know, I'm so happy with what I'm doing now. And a lot of actually really my coaching clients right now, I suddenly am working with a lot of showrunners, which are, for those of you who don't know, in I still live in LA, and the people who are in charge of TV series, the head writers, right? They set the tone for the show and they pitch shows to HBO and all that. And like 3 or 4 of my clients are very successful showrunners. So in addition to our sort of spiritual coaching, which is kind of what I do, it's really, you know, connecting to this part of yourself so that you can forget yourself so you can show up. But also I've and that's acting, right? You know, it's like, you know, now I'm going to forget everything and okay, it's your show, God, you know, it's your performance.
Right.
Here we go. And that, you know, that's
yeah.
what it is. But some of them, I'm coaching their pitches, you know, like listening to their story and helping them refine the story. And because of my acting background, helping them write dialogue. Not me. I'm not writing with them. I'm talking to them about, okay, what does your character want out of life? Why do they? What's their background? What all that wonderful training, you know?
Right.
So that's one thing I'm doing now that I love doing because then I get to kind of use everything I know, the great script analysis I learned from my teacher, Roy London, may he rest in peace, and just every part of myself. And also I really see myself working more and more with underserved populations of children. It just is everything. And I will share one thing that a client, back when I had my acting school, I had a client who was 10 years old. I worked with her from she was like 8 to 16. When she was 10, I was getting her to do some script analysis and the substitution. And I said, has there ever been anyone in your life who made you feel special? And she looked at me and she said, you.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was like floored. And so I gave her all my money. No,
but you get rubbery when you realize the impression and the impact that you have. Yes. All right. Now, I'm stealing two more minutes. This is what
okay.
I want to ask you. All right.
You got it.
Two things. Tell me your most wonderful moment that you've had that has to deal with the arts, and the most difficult moment that you've had. And after that, then we're going to go.
Okay. The most wonderful is very clear to me. That's the thing that got me to do teaching. Back in that time when my TV career was slowing, and I'd only ever been in Hollywood. I've been working as a business, acting as a business since I was six. It's always been connected to money and business, and I never had that I want to be an actress thing you hear so much. Well, I got offered to do a play in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, at a very reputable regional theater called Play. What's it called? I'm blanking on it. It'll come to me. At Chapel, the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill.
Okay.
Oh, geez. Okay. I'm old. So anyway, I was doing this play, and here I was in Chapel Hill, and there were no agents there. There were no casting directors there. You weren't going to get discovered there, but that theater was filled every night, and I had a profound experience for the first time. I think I was, around 40. And I went, people need to come see the theater. It feeds something in them. And these actors who are so beautiful and meticulous and care about their craft, what an honorable thing to not be doing this so they can get cast on a series. They're doing it for love and for excellence and to provide a cathartic experience to the theater goers. And, that was profound for me. And it came after I'd already had my career, really. The worst, I could tell you a few. The worst, I worked with some people, some stars who, just were nasty, and those were the worst. But that only happened a couple times in a lot of work, where there were a couple. One's a very big movie star now who you would definitely know, and I'll tell you off the air if you ever want to know, who just was really kind of cruel to me when he didn't need to be. And another one who kind of did the same thing, who you wouldn't know as much, and I'm kind of happy for that.
Yeah,
because he was so nasty. So mostly, and this is unnecessarily uncomfortable. What is it, Williams, who said the only sin is to, what's that thing he says, something about to be deliberately cruel or something. That's
Tennessee.
But it hasn't happened much, so I'm lucky.
Well, being who we are, I think that happens. I mean, I know I've experienced that where people are just cruel sometimes before because of their insecurities,
Yes.
And you bring that out, especially if you come in and you have confidence, that brings it out. But I'm not surprised at how wonderful you feel about the good parts of it. And we take the good and the bad and we do the best that we can. Now, I'm going to tell you right now that we're getting ready to leave everyone. I want to thank you all for listening. This is this is much quicker than it normally is. However, we have normally we would have about 25 more minutes left, but you will enjoy the video that we're going to put on. You just go to Facebook and YouTube. You can enjoy that and you'll see Jamie and you'll see, I don't care how old she says she is, she's absolutely gorgeous. She's my red haired that's who she is. So, we're going to sign off for right now, and we'll see you on the video. So thank you, Jamie, very much. I'm going to put on the music. I'm going to thank you very much, and then I'll see you in the video in a little bit. And thank you. I love you. You know I do. I love you, and love to your family.
Love you too.
Okay. All right.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye.
This is something we all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago. Never know how much I love you.
And I just want to say thank you so very much for tuning in to Lenny Godfrey's Straight No Chaser. Next week, we will have the magnificent Forrest Dino Ray, and we'll be talking about the arts then. Bye-bye now. See you on the radio. Lenny Godfrey here.